All right, let's say hello to Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune. Kevin's had a really, really good week. He had a story over the weekend about Mackenzie Gore. He sat down for 20 minutes with Mackenzie Gore in Arizona, out in Peoria, talking about this crazy twist and saga that Mackenzie Gore has been on, why he's back in the Arizona Fall League. Really, really good stuff if you want to go find that at the San Diego Union Tribune's website. Then he also had the story earlier this week that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to forego, which for those that don't know means he's going to not have off-season shoulder surgery. Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune, our Padres insider, joins us right now on Extra 1360. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hello, Darren.
How are we doing today?
Fantastic.
Where do you want to start, Tatis or Gore? Both really interesting subjects.
I think probably more germane, I mean, at least immediately, would be Tatis, right? And I'll be honest with you, I'm still kind of like, I'm in shock. I thought all along, I think some other people thought all along he would end up getting surgery. And that's not me saying he should have. I'm just saying that, like, a lot of people thought that he was going to and that he should. And so it was his decision. That's what, you know, the Padres always said. And in the end, he gets all the information from everybody, and it's his decision.
So when you say, you know, that you yourself were in shock, this is based on reporting. This is based on you getting a lot of background information. I'm sure you've heard from some of the people even who have made their opinions known publicly. Dr. Chow was on the radio station this week, Kevin. But to me, you know, putting our own feelings about this off to the side, where are the Padres in this?
I think that they, and I be very careful here just because, look, I believe they wanted him to have surgery. And that's not anyone that I can actually recall saying, he needs to have surgery. it's no one kind of denying it. It's, you know, you do the job for a while and you're talking to people. And also the fact that they waited so long and that no one from the team has said anything and has deferred to Tatis, it seemed like he was expected to get surgery. And again, like, I have a real problem in that none of us, even the experts, and I know some doctors are around and they're all like scratching their head, but no, I haven't had anybody express a really strong opinion that has actually seen, you know, the MRIs, that actually has talked to Fernando Tatis. So, you know what? He made the decision based on a lot of input from doctors, both, you know, affiliated with the Padres and not affiliated with the Padres. And it is Fernando Tatis Jr.'s belief that he can, you know, strengthen the shoulder. He felt good about how he finished the season. And so here we go.
Kevin Acey joining us on Extra 1360. Kevin, one of the last times that Fernando Tatis Jr. spoke publicly about this subject, and we played the audio a couple of hours ago. We can replay it if anybody wants to hear it again. But he did say, we're all on the same page. We're all on the same page. And by we, it wasn't just Team Tatis. It was we, me, my team, the Padres. We're all on the same page. Now, he didn't give any indication that he was or wasn't leaning towards having surgery, but he said we're all on the same page. Do you believe that that is still the case today?
I believe that everybody has arrived at the same page, and they're going to go forward saying that this is how they're going to proceed. You know, Fernando says stuff, and there's sometimes, and he's I mean, I absolutely love that he's such a great quote, but, you know, there's sometimes that maybe we shouldn't take every word that a player says literally.
Okay. Let me unpack that here for a second. So, the Padres wanted him to have surgery.
I believe that the Padres wanted him to have surgery, and that is based, that's what I would call the very educated guess.
Okay, so now what is the response from the organization that he has decided not to have it?
I have not got one, curiously, or I guess not curiously. I have not got one. And I can't say that I've actually tried that hard, like I'm beating down doors. I mean, the fact is, I was told that he will not have the surgery, has decided to not have the surgery at this time. And I'll tell you what. They were reaching a point, or they had reached a point where he needed to have it, or he'd be going into next season. So that decision appears to have been made for the 2021-22 offseason.
And when I say response, you know, I'm not necessarily looking for a quote, right, from somebody there anonymously or even on the record. But I wonder also what sort of position this puts the team in, because the other thing that Fernando Tatis Jr. said a lot down the stretch was, I'm going back to playing shortstop, and we know that the team moved him to the outfield because, at least in their claims, they believe that that would prevent him or at least decrease the likelihood of him re-injuring himself. And I wonder what sort of response they might have in that regard.
I think the plan is for him to still play shortstop. You know, I think that at this point, and it's been reported that, you know, the problem here is the dislocation, and then it would keep dislocating. And obviously that played out over the season with the three dislocations during the season. And I think that's everybody's worry, is that he's going to go in the next season, that that's going to be an issue. Well, I think it will be hanging over him just because of what happened here in the last year. But this is now the decision that Tatis has made. So that's the thing that everyone's going to go forward with.
And do you think, yeah, towards the tail end, he seemed to be suggesting also that whatever harness they were using down the stretch, you know, that had been really, really effective. And I wonder if, you know, you find there to be validity in that commentary.
Well, it certainly kept him healthy. Now, of course, he had made it that long. What was it, a month and a half, final month and a half of the season? He had made it that long within the season not wearing the harness regularly. So wearing it every day, it certainly seemed to be effective. Now, his numbers were down. Was that something else? I don't know. He didn't seem to like the harness, and as I checked with him a couple times, it never was that his opinion changed on it. He never was like, yeah, this thing is awesome. So I don't know if he'll be wearing it going forward. I would think that we can trust that he would be working very hard to strengthen, you know, the muscles around the shoulder, and that he will declare that he is going into the season or going into spring training fully healthy. And then I guess, you know, depending on your level of optimism, you will be holding your breath to some extent for 2022.
Well, you know me, Kevin. I'm a very optimistic guy. My glass is always half full, so I think he's going to go 162 next year. Have they placed any limitations on him, what he can and cannot do in the offseason, meaning particularly playing baseball in the Dominican Republic?
Not that I know of, but I don't know is what I should say. There was going to be a period of rest this guy had for whatever it was, 135 games. This guy had a pretty trying season, and I believe that there is an expectation that this offseason would be about getting that shoulder healthy.
And the train has left the station on this subject for this offseason. There's no turning back. If he loses the MVP by a couple of votes and everybody goes, well, he was injured, he didn't play enough, there's no turning back now, he's not having the surgery, that's it, done.
I don't think that will affect it. Again, you know, I've been trying to find a way to get a hold of him just to see, and not that I have very much optimism about that, but you know, my understanding, and believe me, it's this is a source, and subsequently another source, and these people have never been wrong, never have led me astray here. My understanding is that this is a done deal.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know what else there is to say on this, other than we have to wait for the Padres to say something, either on the record or off the record, and indicate whether they are you know, just going to roll with this, or what options they have.
I can bear virtually guarantee that on the record today will be like, yeah, we're going forward, we believe this is the way to go. They were very careful to never say anything, even off the record, to never definitively say, yep, need surgery, gonna have surgery. So I think that that's the way that they'll go forward. That's the way the Padres operate these days, and they're only getting more so, where they're gonna try to have one voice. So that's what I think will happen.
All right, so that, yeah, so there's this, you don't anticipate this being an issue?
Well, I guess as long as he doesn't get hurt again in April.
Okay.
Look, like I said, this is just based on, I'm no doctor, but this is based on a reporting since what, April 5th, when he hurt himself against the Giants, and no one really ever changed their tune, and it only got more so as he got You know, has it happened again? Okay, yeah, no big deal. Arthroscopic surgery in the off season. He'll be ready middle of spring training. And that was sort of like the thinking. And even I think that the people around him and within the team, even as Fernando Tatis Jr., hey, credit to him. None of us should really be surprised because Fernando Tatis Jr. said he wasn't getting the surgery all along. But it seemed like people, it was like, all right, hey, when the season's over, as we're getting to the end of the season here, we're going to talk about this. And yeah, we'll get to the point where the guy's going to have surgery. Well, nope, Fernando Tatis Jr. is not having surgery, just like he said.
Did they even get to the discussion?
Yes, there was discussion, final week or weekend of the season.
All right, let's switch gears. You had a very, very interesting conversation with Mackenzie Gore. This is somebody who I don't know that I've ever actually seen Mackenzie Gore in person, Kevin, but you went out to Arizona. You tracked him down. He was pitching in an Arizona Fall League game. We had Keith Law on yesterday from The Athletic. He was saying he looked great. He looked like one of the top left-handed prospects in all of baseball. What did you think? Not about the conversation. What did you think just what you saw with Mackenzie Gore out there on the mound?
I only caught the tail end because, well, it doesn't matter, but it was my fault. I only caught the tail end. I did talk to quite a few people. Look, when I saw him throwing at the end, the guy was throwing hard and he was throwing strikes. Now, by that point, there was also some contact being made, and it was like, I mean, what am I? I'm not a coach or a scout. I was like, eh, okay, whatever. First Arizona Fall League start against, some of the top prospects in the game. Sure, okay, whatever. The fact that he is throwing as hard as he has thrown on a consistent basis, because he was still hitting 97 in the fifth inning, 90 pitches into the, you know, high 80s in, because I think he went 91 or something, and that he was able to throw more strikes than he had thrown, gosh, I think as many at least as he had thrown since he started pitching in games again, you know, back in August. From what I saw and everything that I heard, that was a real nice start. And I know that he's throwing now, and I haven't seen what he's doing today.
All right, he is pitching today. Kevin Acey, who's not a doctor, who's not a coach, who's not a scout, is joining us on Extra 1360. Kevin has told us everything that he's not. How did the conversation go with him? Again, I was really, really drawn into what it was that he said. You had the opportunity for, 20, 30 minutes to sit with him, to talk with him, just the two of you, I suppose, sitting out there on the back of the Peoria Sports Complex. Kevin, I walked away going, wow, that was really interesting stuff. It felt like he, you know, is both optimistic, realistic, cautiously optimistic. He's returning from a dark place in his career. Like, there's a lot there to digest in your conversation.
Yeah, it really was. And it was like, to turn it around, like, I wanted to spend more time with him. Not that you're going to get any more out of him. He's he's not a public person. I wanted to dive in and just kind of just keep drawing stuff out of him, because this is so unique what he did, kind of going away for a while, right? And realistic, that was the one that I would grab onto, which always stands out to you. What do you hear now? Like, everyone wants to be the phoenix rising from the ashes, and before the fire's even out, they're like, yes, oh, this is gonna make me better, and they're declaring it definitively. And Mackenzie Gore has been through like so much stinking. Imagine that. Imagine being Mackenzie Gore and having this beautiful wind-up delivery and always throwing strikes, and suddenly you stink and you can't get it right. I mean, he has been through a lot. And then the number one prospect, the number 10 prospect, the number 22 pitching prospect, like, just falling down, and just like, I just really was struck by how strong this kid is. I don't know if that means that he's going to end up being Clayton Kershaw or Julio Urias, or I don't know. But I will say that, man, the fact that he's like, I think this will make me better, but we'll see. But he says it very confident. I don't know why I just suddenly got all shy and everything. He's a very confident kid, but just like this realisticness from him is what really stood out to me, and the fact that this hasn't broken him. And you know what? I guess I'm never surprised when the difference between them and us often is that, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't break them. Like, I would have quit. Yeah, there's my $2 million. I'm out. I just think this kid has every intention of being everything that we expected him to be, but he's not like talking about it.
He's not. He just wants to be about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to. But the idea, to go back to the Arizona Fall League, because there's an interesting sequence there, Kevin, in which your guys are talking about him and how he just, He had no clue what he was doing out there on a pitching mound as he's performing in front of people in a minor league baseball game, to the point where he was like, I got to get out of here. I just got to go someplace that's quiet. And the organization worked with him to get him out there to Peoria, Arizona, to go to the complex, just to get him away from fans, to get him away from teammates, to get him away from any sort of perceived pressure situation.
Yeah, this is really interesting because you hear from people around him, people in the organization, and like there's some people like they shouldn't have done that to him. They should have just let him work through it and all this. And it's so like when he actually dropped that, because like I'd heard that people had suggested it and he dropped it. And I'm like, wait a minute, this was your idea? He's all, well, you know, I think people had been thinking about it, but I didn't know what I was doing out there. It wasn't getting better. I was like, let's go. And 2 days later, he's in Arizona, like not pitching anymore for the next 2 months. I mean, he's throwing bullpens. He's, you know, like when rehabbing major leaguers, like Fernando Tatis Jr. went over there, he would pitch to them. They'd go out and work on certain things in those moments. But I mean, and I remember seeing video of his bullpens during that time. And it was just simply getting that, the timing of that pretty involved, delivery, together. But yeah, that was really, listen, I can't stress enough how reserved this guy is. And so there were about, you know, one sentence at a time, five or six times in that conversation, I felt like he did sort of let it out there that like, yeah, it goes without saying that this was awful. This did not feel good. But man, yeah, I didn't have any idea what I was doing.
Does everybody wants to know why, right? Everybody wants to know why this happened. Does he offer any theories as to why he found himself in this place?
So when he was kind of pushing in a certain direction. So I'm like, oh, so it's like when the ship is 1 degree off course and it just keeps going. And then it ends up to be in like another hemisphere. And he's all, yeah, that's as good a theory as any, is that it just got a little bit off and a little bit off. And he's such a competitor. I think that's the first thing anyone ever hears about him or heard about him, that he actually pitched through it, you know, tried to pitch through it. And it may have been as early as late 2019. And then he gets off. Most people pinpointed in the off season between 19 and 20. And then he doesn't get to pitch in games in 2020. And he, you know, was really bad at the alternate site and it just kept getting worse. And that's his best theory, is that it just was a little bit off, a little bit off. But the kid's so good, let's not forget that he could go out and have an outing where he went six innings and allowed two runs. Or he could have in spring training a couple of those appearances where you're like, oh, okay, that's Mackenzie Gore right there. And so, you know, it just never got fixed. Well, supposedly now. And if you look at the results, which he is not, he's adamant about that. If you look at the results, though, in terms of the strikes and all that, yeah, things are getting better.
Well, okay, last thing, though, Kevin, is, you know, again, and I highly recommend, if you're a Padre fan and you missed this, go find it. But when you say it never got fixed, he's not there to fix things himself. You know what I mean?
No.
Somebody's got to figure out that he is 1 degree off course here.
Yeah.
Now, we know, again, I don't know that the change at the farm director and everything else and some of the other stuff that we've heard about going on here, but it's, you know, he's also not singularly responsible for fixing this. So what role does the organization play in any of this?
I think, well, there are people that say a lot. I don't get into the minor leagues much, but that is a valid question. And there are people that have their theories that, too many cooks got in the kitchen, that, you know, there were things that were missed. And then all of a sudden it was everybody getting in his head. And, you know, then he, you know, look, it got in his head too. There, you know, so, yeah, Darren, that's a absolutely valid question to which I have not solved the mystery. And a little bit when I went over there and I didn't know what was going to happen, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get into all that. And then I decided, you know what? No one's heard from this kid. He's like a mythical creature. Let's just go with the Mackenzie Gore angle at this point.
It was great. It was really, really good, Kevin.
Well, thanks,
good job,
man.
Out of you. Yeah, it was really good. Anything to ask about the managerial search?
I wish. I've been commenting to a few people today. Gosh, this is so weird. I think we had the code cracked last. I know we had the code cracked last time by now. And I have not been able to confirm anything more than a plan to interview Mike Schilt. I've heard They've reached out to some other people, but have not been able to confirm that either with the people or with the two guys who are, you know, doing the work for the Padres, Preller and Seidler. So,
still no interviews with Ron Washington?
No, they're going to. That's not going to happen.
Thank you, Kevin. Great stuff. Appreciate it.
Hey, man. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. All right, that's Kevin Acey, everybody.